I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome to Conversations for Couples,
a podcast.
So, Julie, about a year ago, we had your good friend and a friend of ours. We've known her for 30 plus years, I guess it's been 30 plus years. We don't want to say that much because then people are going to understand how old we are. But she came on. She was kind enough to come on after spending a couple of months on The Golden Bachelor. And we were talking about where her life was at that point. Mm-hmm. She talked about her family. She talked about John. She talked about what plans she might make, what she may do. And now you fast forward a year later, we know some of what she did. One was she became the Golden Bachelorette. Two, she met and fell in love with a fellow who's also on with us today, Chuck Chappell, who, by the way, Chuck, we all had you picked at the very beginning. The Soups, me, FYI, I didn't go too far into the show, but The Soup I knew was going to be a winner. And we had our money on you from the get-go. But Joan and Chuck have had an interesting story since the Golden Bachelorette, and we want to spend some time talking about that. Not about the show so much, because unless you've been living under a rock the last year or so, you know these folks, some of their story. But I really want to talk about maybe some of the stuff that folks don't know, and some things that maybe you haven't been asked to talk about in the last couple of months. But before I do, Chuck, I want you to know that I was going to come up with a couple of softball questions. The first one I already answered for myself. It was going to be K-State or KU. I know it's K-State because that's where you went to school, right?
Well, I went to K-State. I had a son that went to KU, just recently graduated, and a daughter went to K-State. Kind of spread the love between the state schools.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'm a Maryland fan, so I was curious as to that. And secondly, I do want to know the answer to this one. Scotch or bourbon?
Well, 20 years of scotch. Did a little bit of bourbon, which is very popular now. But then right now, it's probably red wine.
Really? Ooh, okay.
Is that because of Joan?
Yeah. She likes Sauvignon Blanc, and that's her drink.
Oh,
and I just every evening, had a couple last night, and they were great, and that was good. So, but I've got that personality where I'll do something for a while, then just change it up. So I'm on red.
We hope you don't do that with your fiance. So.
Only with this alcohol consumption.
I want to ask you both this question. I mean, and because there's so many things that are unique to your relationship. Let's start with the how are we managing living your life, trying to build a life together, being on TV, being on podcasts like this and others in the limelight, so to speak. Tell us about the things that are easy and the things that are difficult.
Chuck, you want to go? You want me to go?
So, and I think the best response I have there is you make the other person a priority. So Joan and I, the show finished up in August of last year, but we talk every day. We've not had one day since we got off the cruise line in Tahiti that we haven't spoken, and many times 2 to 3 times a day. And there's the romantic part of it, but then there's the real world. And, you know, we're mature people, so we want to know what's going on with each other's life. Can we help them? Can we just listen to them? What can we do? Family talk, family issues, family decisions, those type of things. So making the person a priority, and then making the effort to spend time together. We were in California last week. We were in New York this week. We'll see each other, not this next week, but the following week we'll see each other. So we've made it a priority. And I think that's the secret when you don't live in the same state. But then really, Carrie, and I can ramble all day, and Joe knows this, but is making the person a priority and letting them know that you love them.
Yeah. And I think part of it is also like making it fun. So we've been having such a fun time doing this. We don't have like a place where we are always together. I've been in Kansas a couple of times. He's been to Maryland a couple of times. We've been to California, Northern and Southern California. We've been to New York a bunch of times. We've been to Cancun. So we were in actually Oklahoma like last week. So we're making it fun and we're not like really tied to one place, which, you know, we both kind of wanted to travel. So this has kind of been our foray into doing that a little bit. But that kind of stuff, although it sounds hard, it's honestly really, really fun. And we've had a great time. We live out of suitcase a lot, but that's the worst part of it. And we get to see each other and kind of have some adventure already. I think the hard part is the people that doubt us. And I know that, you know, not every relationship is perfect on Bachelor Nation. It's just like real world. I mean, it's really no different. And, you know, maybe because Gary and Teresa didn't last, you know, people look at this as maybe it's likely to fail. And we are, you know, the farthest from it. Like every time, every day we become stronger, we get to know each other better, we fall more in love, we have, you know, we start making memories, we know each other's families. And the people that doubt us, you know, I'm not sure like what we can do or if it's even like we need to do that, but I really feel like we're like the poster people for falling in love later in life and then doing it from separate, you know, states, and that it can work. And I want to make sure that we show that. And so I don't know how to stop the doubters. I don't know how do I make them realize that we actually are right.
Yeah, I think you just have to, I mean, there's going to be naysayers wherever you go. So yeah. I think you have to ignore them. How has it been to, you know, sort of meld the two families? Because I know you're both very, very family focused. And I know that you had holidays and, you know, all that. How did you do that?
We did it right away. So our finale was in the middle of November and we came right into the holidays really quickly. So Jock, you know, right away had already, you know, told his family that he wanted to spend it, you know, here in Maryland. So both his kids came and they were so nice. They kind of uprooted and didn't do like the thing at their home. They came to my home, which was lovely of them to do that. We kind of owe the next holiday to them. I'll uproot my family and do that. But they, you know, we thought it was really important that we get them to meet each other really soon. And they were really excited to do that. So it was pretty easy. And then I just spent his dad's 85th birthday with him in Oklahoma. And that was really fun. We just kind of do it gradually, but it hasn't been like a labor of love. It's been kind of a labor of love. Like we want to do it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really cool.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys saw the helicopter, but Joan, I think now's a good time to tell you that I just bought it and I'm going to take delivery. Oh. So
you bought a helicopter for Joan?
Awesome. I don't think you can take it all the way to Maryland though.
It's a long helicopter trip.
Yeah. Are you going to be coming to Maryland on your helicopter?
I think you need a little jet instead.
Yeah.
Maybe a jet.
Yeah. I got to imagine that the noise that's out there, it takes a fair amount of self-control not to worry too much about what other people say and what other people think. I mean, I never have cared what people say or thought about me. So that's always been easy, but it's not been on the same scale at all of, you know, for me, it's wearing boots in the summertime and people look at me funny. So you're a little bit more difficult.
You want to do though with this show, and ABC was very good educating you. They go, it's going to be 90, 95% positive, 5 to 10% just aren't going to like you for whatever reason. And I got over it real quick. And, you know, I'm just going to live my life and I'm going to live my life with Joan. And because I don't think you can make everyone happy in life. And that's one of the gifts you can give yourself is just be the best person you can and then live your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys are, every time I, you know, look and see where you are, you're someplace fun doing something awesome, which is amazing. How do you see, you know, sort of what are you seeing, you know, long-term, like in terms of, I know you guys talked about maybe getting a place in New York, you know, congregating there. And, you know, where do you see this, you know, going in terms of like living together in the same place at some point?
Chalk, you want to do it?
Well, yeah, we're in a, I'm not going to say unique because older people that date and get involved with each other, Joan is very connected to her family. And she talks that from day one. And even before I met her, I'd read that about her, that her family was of the utmost importance. And my commitments, I'm never going to come between that. I'm kind of on the downside of my career, but I still have a couple of businesses where I'm from in Wichita, Kansas. So economically, it just doesn't make sense for me to uproot right now because they're service industries, so they're tied into the community. But the great thing is I've got very good people that help me run these businesses where I can travel and do my thing. And so that's, you know, and plus this new age of I'm learning how to be a remote worker, which is a little difficult for me. But as long as you do it, as long as I take care of the employees, the clients that we have, it'll all work out. And we just love, you know, we're still going to do something in New York, but we've been so busy. It just hasn't made sense. And we're able to do some really cool things. We went to Cancun, Mexico, thinking, oh, it'll be okay. Turned out to be a great trip. And it was just the first trip. It was just Joan and I, where there was no ABC, there was no bachelorette, there was, you know, no other people that we really knew. And we just had a great time. So we're going to continue with a commitment to love each other and to get to know each other too. That's the other thing is people will go, well, you know, you took a leap of faith. We're getting to know each other every day. And I will tell you this is we talked at 6:30 this morning, Joan and I. And so, I mean, we're communicating all the time. And that is going to be the foundation, the core of our relationship is the love, but also just the communication as we navigate through the next couple of years.
Yeah. And what is the, so we talk a lot about David and I have written several books on, you know, relationships and communication is always a big factor. And I see this in, you know, with couples all the time. How are your communication styles, you know, the same? How are they different? How have you guys been navigating that?
Yeah, I think they're pretty similar. You know, Chuck is really good. So, you know, sometimes you just need to vent about something that happened in your day. I had one of those last night, as a matter of fact, and he was having a great night. They had just gone on a hunt and he was with a bunch of buddies and I was just venting. And he always says to me, which is such a good, you should put this in your book. Maybe it's in one of your books. Yeah. Do you want me to just listen or do you want my opinion?
Yeah. Yes, we call that rant or remedy.
Yes, I love that. It feels so good. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I need your opinion. Or some like just let me vent and then I'll be over this.
Yeah, because people get in trouble all the time for trying to fix something when you just want to talk about something. And, you know, Joan, I've known you for years. You're a fixer. You know, problems come and you're like on top of them. Chuck, you own businesses. You've been a dad. My guess is you like to fix things as well. Mm-hmm. So my get, you know, but I love that you guys, you know, early on in your relationship have figured out like that is key. Like, do you want my opinion or do you want to vent, rant or remedy? And that, you know, and it's great that you're asking. So is there any communication, you know, challenges?
I don't know. We talk a lot. So certainly it's not the frequency. And I think we both feel really, really comfortable pretty much talking about anything we do. I don't think there's ever been a subject that has been uncomfortable for the two of us. What do you think, Chuck?
No, there hasn't. And I had something probably within this last week where Joan and I were talking and I was frustrated with something. And then I've kind of always prided myself and I haven't been perfect, but I go, I don't want to put the negativity off on you, Joan. And that's part of the communication where you can talk about things and then know objectively if this person's part of the problem or the solution. This just didn't have anything to do with Joan. It was just a couple of things and it was pretty small. But I do want to, so Joan and I talked last night. She was a little wound up, but then I called her. That's the reason why I called 6:30 this morning. And there's another saying that I have, do you want to be right or happy? And especially when you have, we're both, you know, I'm going to say A-minus personalities where we've had to make decisions. We've had to be confident in what we're doing. And this morning I go, you know, I'm just going to tell you a couple of my opinions. If you take them, great. If not. And we have what we call, and I might be jumping ahead, but at least I call them, and Joan agrees with this, is I call them silver bullets. And that's when something is of the utmost importance of the other person and you respect it. Don't use them that often, but there's, you know, and especially when you're dealing with family too, because there's such a dynamic. And I was just going, hey, I just, you know, I've been thinking about this tonight, this morning. I just want to offer a couple of comments and then, you know, do as you may. Both been through a lot with the number of kids we have, the situations. And a lot of times you can learn from somebody else, not 100%, but go, hey, they did this. They didn't do this. And then I find that there's the kind of non-negotiable where I said, Joan, you thought about this? And she goes, well, I'm just going to deal with it today. And yeah.
We have a similar thing. Julie does it so often. I cringe sometimes. We call it safe talk. So if she wants to tell me something that she knows I'm going to likely to react mm-hmm. adversely to, she'll say safe talk. And then I'll go, oh.
And it means that the other person has to listen. And also it cues that this is an important topic. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the best thing about like that whole conversation that I had the night before last night, mm-hmm. and then he called back with this morning, is that I thought I laid awake a lot last night mm-hmm. thinking through it, and it was, you know, it's so like comforting. It makes me feel so safe that somebody else was feeling my pain with me a little bit, yeah. and that I just didn't have to bear it by myself.
Oh, I love that.
He thought about it all night and had to wake up and call me.
I love that. Yeah. So Chuck, you said you had that saying, we have a saying similar, and it's, you can be right or you can be married.
Same idea.
Yeah, same idea.
Which is probably,
I'm just going to buy the helicopter.
You're thinking of
just buy the helicopter.
Be prepared to be wrong a whole lot of times. We've been married for 38 years and I don't think I've been right. I don't think I've hit double digits yet. So.
I don't believe that.
Chalk, what did you want to say?
I was going to say one of the beauties of growing older is you realize you don't have to be right all the time. You yeah. want to be, because you just want to make the right decisions, but it's just, there's so many other factors, or it's just such little stuff. Yep. You know, that it just, in the big picture, is it really going to change? You know, the last day of your life, you're going to go, well, I should have done this different, or this bothered me. No, 99.9% of it. It's just life's little nuances.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's what makes, I think, you know, being more mature, a very positive thing when you're in a relationship. I mean, there's so many things that people talk about as being, you know, challenging, that you're set in your ways or you have likes or dislikes. But I do think that we, as we age, we learn that we can, you know, the little stuff is not that important. And I think when we were younger, we definitely thought everything was important.
Sure.
So I wanted to kind of dive in. We've had a theme of like the mature relationship, the relationship that's, you know, a little bit different than when you were 20 or 30 years old. And I wanted to find out if you would, you know, if you're comfortable sort of talking about like, what is the intimacy been like as an older couple? Cause it's different than it was when you were 20 or 30.
Well, we still have it. I can tell you that much. that's not a problem at all. But you do, okay, we're all adults. This is adult conversation.
I didn't even have to ask you if you wanted to speak first that time.
I didn't even have to ask.
Yeah.
I got to tell you the story. We were in New York City and had this great meal. And we're kind of looking at each other, giving each other the eye, you know, mm-hmm. kind of winking and going like this. And so we're both getting excited. And by the time we got back to the hotel room, we were riding up on the elevator. We both looked at each other and go, we're going to bed. Yeah, we're just going to go to sleep. And that's again, the beauty of being older. It's just, you know. So, you just have to talk about things. Yeah, absolutely. And
Cause things change. Our bodies change, the way, you know, the way we perform changes, everything changes. And I would imagine that comes into play. I've had a lot of girlfriends date, you know, later in life, and they'll often talk about, you know, issues that come up in the bedroom that wouldn't have come up when you're 20 or 30.
Yeah. But part of
I've got just something in this because I, you know, for your listener standpoint, this is real life and people go, is this real? But I had a prostate PSA that jumped up and Joan and I had a conversation about it right when we were just, you know, really getting serious.
Yeah.
And but I love being able to talk about that stuff because from a guy's standpoint, you know, if you have prostate issues and something, you know, something doesn't work, it's a big deal for a guy. And Joan and I had that conversation and I'm okay, but it's just one of those scary things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will just tell you it's real. So I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, and I really, we appreciate you being so transparent here. David and I were talking earlier and he's like, well, what do you want to ask them? And I'm like, I want to ask them mm-hmm. how is it in the bedroom when you're entering into like a 60-year-old, you know,
relationship. And I made sure she asked those questions. I thought they'd be better from her than from me.
I know.
But we haven't heard from Joan yet. So
yeah. Well, see, part of it is, the fact that we don't see each other every single week. So when I do see him, I'm actually really excited in a number of ways to see him.
Yeah.
So like that the spark has been there since the beginning. I always thought that he was super attractive and, you know, I thought he was really handsome. And so, you know, you got to have that. And then you just got to make sure the body is working the way it used to. And so sometimes that requires some interaction or some action, but we have it pretty well figured out, to be honest.
Good to know.
Yeah. It hasn't been all that different than when we were younger, to be honest, at least for me. I think that, it's been really good in that category, and I hope it will always stay that way. I mean,
I'm going to talk about the distance thing.
That's awesome.
Because Julie and I spend a lot of time apart. Now, we're not, you know, halfway across the country apart, but I just finished spending close to a month, you know, down in Delaware because we're selling this house. And the last thing she wanted was for me to be around with the dogs and, you know, me plastering something on the walls or whatever the case may be. So I think it was close to 2.5 weeks, you know, that we didn't see each other. And we have throughout our marriage, since very early on, even when our kids were younger, we would take time, you know, and go away for a weekend or whatever it is. Now, those weekends now have turned into like 5 or 6 day weekends.
Good for you.
People do look at us and say, you know, how do you do that? It doesn't seem healthy. And for us, it's been very healthy. And it does give you that same kind of, even after 38 years, it does. I still get that same kind of excitement.
He comes home and he can't keep his hands off of me. And he's like,
well, that's true after an hour. So.
Well, that's true too, but
that's important. I mean, I don't think people realize, the importance of intimacy. I guess unless you don't have it, but you know, I had, you know, some time off. John had passed away and I wasn't intimate with, you know, people. So, you know, like that part of your relationship is important. And when you don't have it, I know you guys haven't had a time when you haven't had it. You can take my word for it. You miss it. You really do. And it's not just like the actual, like having sex, but it's just being that like level of closeness to just one other person in the world. Like they are your person that you do that with. And, it's just a different closeness and it's hard to explain, but when you don't have it, you do miss it.
Yeah. And interestingly, you know, as we've been married for 38 years together, 40 years, but definitely the exciting newness of intimacy has, you know, been very hard to keep up. And I would say that we work really hard on trying to keep that growing and flourishing so that it's not just like once a week, same position kind of stuff. Yeah. And I think as you get older, it takes more and more work for that to happen. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, it's important to both of us that we do that. And listen, it's not always like, you know, star spangled banner, you know, intimacy, but we do try to, you know, make
it
spicy.
She got stuck on the ceiling fan the other night. I had a lot of trouble with me. I couldn't
chasing her around.
Yeah, he was chasing her around. Yeah, no, that didn't happen. But anyway, we're glad that you're working at that. And I was interested because I know you specifically, Joan, did not, you know, participate in the, you know, during the fantasy suites that you were really transparent about not, you know, being intimate with more than one person. And so you chose not to. And I was wondering, you know, how did it work out afterwards? Yep. And it sounds like it worked out great.
I think it worked out better because I don't know specifically about Chalk, but I think most men wouldn't want to think of the person that they're intimate with as having had another partner, like very, like the 2 days before or the week before or whatever. So I felt strongly about that. I never wanted to give the impression that being intimate wasn't important. That wasn't what I intended to do there at all. Mm-hmm. It meant just for me personally, and I can't speak for anybody else, you know, other people may not be the same way or a lot of people aren't, but being intimate with only one person is important to me. Yeah. So that's the only way I could do that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about, and Chalk, you've probably been asked this before, but I was curious about the bowling alley scene where you sort of, you know, like I would say you were kind of like a dog that, you know, peed all over their territory with Joan. You made sure that, you know, Joan remembered you and the other guys knew that this was your lady. And I wanted to find out, was that really you? Or was it some prompting from the show? Or can you just, you know, tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I will back up and answer that question. Is the magic started really when I got out of the limo and first met Joan? But then I was very fortunate to have the first one-on-one date at Disneyland. And the dinner that we had that night, you could just tell there was a connection. And I'm out at this dude ranch this weekend, had a lot of people come up and go, we could just tell at the Disneyland date, the dinner, that you guys were, you know, you were going to go a long way with this. So the bowling alley was interesting because it was the first time the other guys got to see how close Joan and I really were. And I didn't come back. Some of the guys did, but I didn't come back and go, you know, Joan and I talked about this. We're, you know, we're madly in love. That was, that's private to me, very private. And it happened absolutely natural. And what was interesting is, because I've got some heat on this, and I'll just tell you my version of the story. It, when we walked into the bowling alley, Joan was there. Everybody hugged her and went on. And most of the guys started putting their names and their nicknames in the scoring machine, you know, the computer that you put in there. And I just went right up to Joan. I'm like, I don't care what you call me. I don't, you know, I want the time with Joan. And that actually happened on the kickball date as well. Guys were overstretching and doing all this. And I just instantly went to Joan. So it was the first time they saw that connection. And there was a couple of them that really didn't like it. And it wasn't me trying to, you know, as you said, pee on, you know, my possession or my dog bone. It just naturally happened. And there was some editing in there, and I can't go into that. But I will tell you, I did say to Joan, and I will own this, I said, hey, let's just, let me just take you home. You know, that's, let's
call the show off.
No, I had not watched any of the other back shows. I didn't know that happened once. We're early into it. A couple just said, hey, we're together on the show.
Yeah.
And I was just, I was kind of joking, but we were, Joan, it was sitting there and the camera didn't do this, but I kissed her on the back of the head and it was just so natural. And, you know, for us to do that. So that was, it was a big moment for us, but it was also a big moment for the guys to see that, you know, Joan and I did have a connection.
Yeah. Well, it was, I mean, it was interesting to watch, but I didn't know if that was something that you, that was just felt like natural to you or that they asked you to do or
no, you know. Not at all. I also think part of it was I didn't get up and walk away. So if I wasn't interested in him, I would have moved from where I was sitting, but I kept that same seat and he kept his same seat. We all bowled and did our thing. And I kept coming back to the same seat. So I think it was like, I think it was not just chalk, you know, doing his, like claiming his territory or, you know, saying, you know, that we were a good couple. I didn't leave either. So I think it maybe was a bigger message than just chalk. It was that I didn't actually go over and try to be with them either.
And the thing, if I can too, because I do, if the fans really want to know, it's not like I was competing for Joan, but Jordan and I were the two most competitive guys on the show and we were going for top score. And they have a little deal where I go, hey, Jordan, you know, and it was, it had nothing to do with Joan. We were battling for the top scores. Two guys do.
So Chalk, how do you deal with, I mean, Joan is first of all, you know, beautiful, smart. She has it all. And it's not just that I'm saying that because she's my friend. It's true. And she's my friend too. But how do you deal? Because there's obviously, I mean, there was all these guys that wanted to be with her and there continues to be a lot of male, you know, attention. How do you deal with that in terms of like, you know, security? How do you, you know, make yourself be okay with, you know, her being in the limelight and getting a lot of male attention?
I'm made a little bit different. And I know this and a lot of other people don't know it, but I need the person to want to be with me. And if they don't want to be with me, then I'm okay with it because I don't want them to be miserable, you know, unhappy. I don't want the same thing with myself. They, at the end of the show, they're going, well, what, you know, the producers, well, it was asked, I shouldn't say producers, but you know, what are you going to do if she doesn't pick you? And I go, well, I'm going to grab the driver. I'm going to go to a bar. I'm going to probably call some of my friends and we're going to have some drinks tonight. And then, you know, I'll process it tomorrow. I obviously would have been devastated if it wouldn't have gone this way because I love Joan, but I look at it is from an unselfish standpoint is I want that person to be happy. And a lot of timing. Joan said, you know, up front, she goes, you'd never be here. I wouldn't be here if John was still alive. And, you know, it's reality, and you just have to be okay with it. And both of us, Joan's, you know, from a humanistic standpoint, Joan is much more attractive than I am. But people are attracted to people for different reasons. I love Joan's class and her demeanor with people and how she treats people. And it's her decision, you know, if she wants to be with me or not. And so far, she wants to be there and I'm great. But I wish everybody that I have a relationship, whether a, you know, a romantic relationship, a business relationship, or just a friendship, I want them to be happy. And that's how I'm going to live the rest of my life.
That's interesting.
So let me shift for a second. You both have kids. I know, Joan, you've got grandchildren. And so here we are on the East Coast. We're in the Midwest. We've got grown children. Somehow we've got to get these kids, these adult kids, to, you know, to meet each other. And we want things to go well, right? So how much pressure was that for the two of you, either the first time or the first couple times? And I'm not talking about when you're on TV together. I'm talking about when you came over for the holidays or wherever you went. How much pressure did you feel, A? How did you work your way through it, if there was any? And finally, how are all the kids doing in terms of getting along with each other and understanding that the two of you are in each other's lives?
Sure. Joe, do you want to take that one?
Sure, sure. So, you know, obviously it was really important, but maybe not to the degree you think of as two families that are going to merge and live together. So like if this happened to us when we were in our 40s and we had younger kids and they were going to need to, you know, we were going to need to merge them and possibly them live part-time or full-time together, that it would have been a lot harder. This was really about our adult kids liking to be together. So when Chuck and I, chances are they're never going to live in the house with us again. I'm hoping my kids don't live in the house with me again. He doesn't want his kids living in the house. Yep. It's that when we're together, maybe for holidays or when we go on vacation, that, or, you know, at weddings or family functions that we're all going to be together, that they have fun and they get along. So the pressure wasn't as bad as what you would think, because it's not a living situation. It's just, you know, they're going to like want to hang out with each other and like go to the beach or be at Disney World together or be, you know, at each other's, you know, weddings or whatever. All of those big life events that we're going to share and they're going to be part of. But it wasn't like we had to get them together and say, are you going to be able to like go to high school together? Or like, are you going to share a car?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So what is the biggest disagreement that you guys have had so far?
Okay, I'm going to take that one.
Yeah. I'm going to say,
and we're very lucky because it hasn't been a disagreement. It's just been a point of view. Miss Joan really likes a good parking spot. And then the one mistake that I've made is I took her cell phone charger. And did I get in trouble for that? So,
I think we ought to preface. Okay, I want to defend myself on both of those. First one, parking space. We were going out to dinner. Mm-hmm. It was really cold and I had high heels on. And so I do understand his parking spot thing. He has a big pickup truck. Mm-hmm. So to park and like to go in and back out of it is, you know, parking far away. I get that. Yep. It's easier to do that. We were driving my little Audi, which is not big, my little Audi SUV. And he drove by like four spaces and then took this one that was really far away. It was cold. I had high heels on. We were going to a nice dinner. I just done my hair. I looked pretty and I didn't want to look yucky and I didn't want my feet to hurt. As far as the phone charger, I just had a conversation with him. I said, you know, when my kids were growing up, it was right around Christmas time. I said, I always used to give my kids phone chargers because they used to steal each other's and steal mine. So every year in their stockings, I would give them each a set of four phone chargers and I color coded them. So I would know if Allie, you have Erica's charger, hers is blue or whatever. So I could like referee the arguments. And then my pet peeve was I would go to bed sometimes at night and I'd come down in the morning and one of my kids' friends had taken my charger and they were gone. So it was like a weekly thing. So it was like, I just told him all those things. And the next morning I go down to use my charger and it's gone. It's like, what are you thinking?
Oh, took it to that parking spot that was a mile and a half away.
He needed a charger.
I have to tell you, with my unique personality, I will purposely bypass now the spot right next to the door just to watch your expression. And you can just tell going.
Now I just don't let him drive my car. I drive everywhere.
To be honest I would drop Julie off, but I got a big truck and I don't want to be, I don't want anybody And you know what happens. You go in a parking lot that's 90% empty, and then somebody in an old Valiant pulls up about 3 inches from your door. And so, you know, Julie's always the one, well, there's one right in front. I'm like, nope, not taking that.
Yeah, my favorite thing to do is after we parked far away, we walk, and I'll go, what was wrong with that space? What was wrong with that space? What was wrong with that space? And David's like, well, we didn't get that one. I'm like, well, why didn't we, right? The same thing. Yeah, the same thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Julie, for validating everything he just said. Yeah. Thank you so much.
They're not wearing heels. So it sounds like, it sounds to me, you know, as a therapist, like you guys are, you know, it's just some small things that you're working on that nothing.
We totally laugh about them. I mean, they're funny things. Yeah. It's nothing that ever is going to give me 1 second to pause.
Okay. And the socks. I did see that there were some sock issues. And Chalk, do you want to talk about?
It's a fetish. I think it's a fetish.
Okay.
Not an issue.
Chalk, I'll give you like 2 minutes of therapy right now. Tell me about your relationship with socks.
Well, it's not just socks. I'm an accumulator. And some people call that a hoarder, but I'm an accumulator, a collector, an aficionado. I was with someone for 9 years, but we didn't live together. So I've been a single guy raising my kids, and I just have an issue folding socks, and I cannot deny it. I probably need therapy. If there's any drugs that will help me complete folding socks, I would probably take them.
Okay.
It's just something that's weird, but everything else I'm pretty, you know, anal. I make sure it's done, but I'll do laundry and these socks are there and I'm like, nope, not going to do them.
So
you're accumulating again.
Yeah. So you're sock avoidant. That would be the diagnosis. You're a sock avoidant.
It's SA. It's a severe case of SA.
Yes. Severe. Yes. So sock avoidant. He doesn't want to fold his socks. So he probably goes out and buys new ones. And
he does. That's how he had 346 pairs.
Yes. Yes. So this is an issue. We can dive into this another time, Chalk, but I think
this is going to require more time.
There is some help for you.
The sock episode. Yes, that'll be a big one.
Yeah.
Call it sock it to him.
Well, and I do want to talk about
that. That's right. Well, we want to thank you guys very much for taking the time. I don't want to take too much of it.
No.
It's been wonderful talking to you. It's terrific. It's really, really cool to see two folks that are finding their way with a lot of, in fairness to a lot of us, a lot of challenges, right? A lot of things that people struggle with, distance, families, second time around, that sort of thing later in life. You know, so you both deserve a pat on the back. And we appreciate you coming on. For those of you out there, you can find both these folks on Instagram, and we'll put the information in our show notes. For us, we are The Bullitts, THEBULITTS. You can find us on all major social media platforms. Our website is www.thebullitts.com. We're on YouTube. We're in Pinterest. I don't even know where the heck we are, but
we're everywhere.
Thanks to both of you.
And please subscribe to hear more of our podcast. And we thank you for joining us, our two very special guests.
Thanks so much.
This is the Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Thank
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.